Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
All right, what is up? Welcome into the Hale Varsity Radio Show. My name is TJ Henning. Chris Schmidt is on his way to Denver. He might already be there. Hopefully he beat the winter weather a little bit. But we got a great show for you today. He's going to go see New England Denver on Sunday, which is going to be a pretty good game, one would think. So nice little vacay for him. Jay Moore, recent father, still enjoying that father time. Maybe you saw his little boy throwing up the bones on Twitter or Instagram. That was pretty dope. So hope Jay's enjoying the time off. In with me today from Gregeth and Smith is Greg Smith. Greg, how are we doing, man?
I am excellent, man. How are you? I am happy that I made it here.
I was just going to say, let's get into that. It's tumultuous out there, one would say, right?
Yeah, one would say it's treacherous.
How many accidents did you see?
On Lincoln streets. I saw 7 different accidents, and 1 very near accident right next to me is a car. Like, to tell you how bad it was out there, and you guys be safe out there if you're listening in your cars right now. There was a car just trying to brake at a red light next to me. Like, they weren't doing anything crazy. I saw plenty of crazy out there, but they were not one of them. Just trying to brake and spun out. And then the car behind them, like, miraculously was able to stop their car before they slammed into it.
So I think I got here right before all this ice stuff. I noticed a little bit on my windshield, but man, I've heard other people, one of my friends, she told me she saw 4 accidents on her drive home from work. So it's bad out there. Make sure you stay safe, drive extra slow, and be careful. But we got a great show for you today. It's the big giveaway. Today, the holiday Hail Mary. We've been qualifying you on Hale Varsity. They've also been qualifying you on Gregeth and Smith, so we thought maybe we should combine since we've given those away. Greg, you've been qualifying 3 people a show, right?
Yeah,
3 hours?
Yep.
So one more than us, but a lot of names in that box, and we'll be drawing at 5 o'clock today. What are you getting? You're getting the Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet, $500 value, a Jet Splash car wash gift card, value $100, and a remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln, that valued at $450. Remember, if you qualified and you want to win, you got to be listening in when we draw for the winner. If I draw your name, you need to call back in to 466-3776, say, hey, this is me, I'll verify it's you, and that is how you win. And since we're in a giving mood, we will be drawing, we will be doing one more qualifier at the end of this hour. I'm in a giving mood, Greg. What can I say?
So, Santa TJ.
Yeah, so a chance to still get qualified for that. But again, we'll be drawing for that holiday Hail Mary here at 5:05. Make sure you're listening in to win. All right, other things coming up on the show today. The passing of Craig Sager. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to hear his SB speech coming up next. He's our only guest, which is all we need, but that might be a first in Hale Varsity with no guests. But thankfully, we have Craig Sager to take us home. Talk a little bit about Leonard Fournette's decision to bypass the bowl game and not play in it as part of LSU and end his college football career. Also, a little Nebraska basketball talk as they get going again this weekend. 2 non-con games before they begin their conference play of 18 games. And while Schmidt is away, TJ will talk some NBA. I got Greg with me, so we'll do some NBA talk in the second hour. And then also a Friday forecast. We don't have that today, but substituting it with our bowl pick'em over a little holiday music. So that'll be nice. Quickly, as we get rolling along here, the Husker women's volleyball team had a tough loss last night. Got swept by Texas. I believe the last 3 matchups between Texas and Nebraska in volleyball, all 3 have been sweeps by one another.
Right.
2 by Texas, 1 by Nebraska. Nebraska just did not have their A game last night. Ebony, I'm going to butcher her last name, Nwanabu, really, she was a monster out there, all 6'6 of her, it looks like. I think she only had 1 hitting error in 36 hits.
I believe so, yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, she just absolutely dominated, and the Husker team looked out of sync, especially on the serves.
Yeah, they absolutely did, and they looked out of sync from the start. Like, it was one of those games where it just looked like they were going to be fighting it. I know that second set was really close, but it really felt like they were fighting it that whole time. And they didn't – it felt like a tight team in a way, which is strange considering, you know, how much they had been through this team throughout the season and the gauntlet you have to run through to be able to make it this far after coming through the Big Ten, you would think that it would be a, I don't want to say easy, you know what I mean, but a little bit easier for them once come for having been through that gauntlet. But they looked a little tight out there. It's unfortunate. Still a great season, but they did not, it was not their best showing. And I think multiple players last night said that after game, it was not their best showing.
Yeah, so I agree they look tight, but come on. The thing that bothers me about volleyball is like they're always smiling and like it's okay, you know, after every point we get together. So I feel like it's hard to tell that they're tight. They're always like, hey, it's all right. We get, you know, that's, I'm sorry, that's my bugaboo with volleyball, even though it's probably my favorite women's sport.
I would say so. Yeah, and because it's so volleyball. Have you been to the, like, since they moved
into
the? It's really fun. Like, and I don't suspect that many atmospheres around women's college basketball volleyball are like this. But the fan support goes, you know, without mention here around Nebraska. But the program, they support that program, and it's just a really fun atmosphere to be in when they're hitting on their side of the net. The go big red, which typically ends in a big spike, is really cool. It's just a really fun atmosphere to go. So I'd implore anyone to go if you haven't been.
Yeah, I need to go check that out sometime for sure. I don't even think I went. I maybe went once when they were in the Coliseum, but I didn't. I'm not sure. But tough loss for them, but an overall great season for them. Look, they're the best Husker sports program we have.
Maybe besides
women's bowling. So, like,
yeah, women's bowling is really dominant, man. They're very dominant.
So we definitely know what we're doing over with our volleyball program. They're in good hands. Quickly moving on to Thomas Graham, the recruit who did not commit to Nebraska, the four-star athlete. He is going to Oregon. Taggart snatching him up out of the hands of Deontay Williams, trying to make a late push. Surprised at all, Greg?
No. I don't. I think that the thing that I kind of caution Husker fans, and I checked out just for fun. Like, I was talking to Robin Watcher from Husker Online earlier about this. I went and checked out their board, like their message board. Whoa, people are not thrilled. They are freaking out. And what I would say if I posted on that board, I would say, hey, guys, remember something. Nebraska was not in this with Thomas Graham a couple of weeks ago. Like, this was maybe. Well, whenever Dante Williams was hired, that's when they got back in with Thomas Graham. He had already essentially ruled Nebraska out. He did visit here. He had interest before. He had moved on. Dante Williams gets on board. He loves Dante Williams. Was almost enough to be able to get him. I think if Dante Williams maybe had more time to be able to try to bring him into Nebraska and get him in the fold, maybe you get him in. But it was just too much with the familiarity that he had with the Oregon program in general, even though they had the coaching staff change. And it seems like Willie Taggart coming in for that in-home visit was a really big deal for him.
Oh, man, recruiting guy. Don't freak out, man. It's early. We still got a lot of ways to go. Plenty of time. That's what happens when you try to go after these bigger fish, all right? Some of these big guys, they wait to push their decision. That's why we haven't had commit in a while. We're going after some big guys, so tough loss, but hey, what are you going
to
do?
I would also say that in addition to that is that there are a lot of intriguing, like, athletes that can play corner, safety, you know, some sort of defensive back position that are still on the board for the Huskers.
Sure.
There are still some really nicely rated guys and some guys that are maybe a step below that in rankings that are very intriguing prospects as well. And if you also think about it, defensive back is one of the least need positions on the Huskers right now, considering both of your starters are coming back at cornerback, plus Lamar Jackson, plus both Williams and Antonio Reed. You're in pretty good shape in the defensive backfield for 2017. That's not the position that people should be jumping off the ledge for. That they completely like offensive line, defensive line, and if something crazy were to happen at receiver, considering what the need is there with so many guys graduating and unproven guys behind them, like if they don't get, say, Joseph Lewis, they don't get Jameer Calvin, Gavin Holmes, none of those guys come here, that's something to panic over. Losing one very good, though, he was a top 100 player, Thomas Graham, one defensive back does not mean the end of the recruiting class for Mike Riley and company.
Yeah, okay, we're going to move on here. I got to get this audio in here. Craig Sager passed away yesterday. Tremendous man, one of my favorite guys to watch and listen to and ask questions. Passed away yesterday due to his battle with cancer. Last night on TNT NBA, you had Shaq, you had Kenny, you had Charles, you had even had Kevin Garnett, Chris Webber join in. Sadly, EJ couldn't be there. But here are their thoughts on the passing of Craig Sager.
Obviously, guys, touching from everybody, and it was, you guys were talking about the the meaning for you as players. And I wanted to play for you. We had that today. A lot of players jumping in when they heard this news. Here's some of the reaction around the NBA.
On a day like this, basketball has to take a back seat as we all think about somebody who was very unique, very special.
As many of you know, today is a very sad day in the NBA. We lost a dear friend and a big part of the league's soul with the passing of Craig Sager. And I know I speak for a lot of people who worked with Craig and who knew him when I say that nobody had more zest for life and passion and joy the way he lived than Craig. He loved his family, loved his friends, he loved Bud Light, he loved golf, he loved atmospheres like tonight where he came and worked an incredible sporting event. He loved the Cubs. He loved people more than anything.
He helped the coaches. He helped the players come to life. Being there, be able to interview, but, you know, the fight that Craig did is an inspiration to all of us. He's going to be dearly missed.
When someone like him passes away and you see and read all the tributes, I think you get a better idea of what people thought of him when it's taken in that scope.
It's an inspiration, and it should be motivational to a lot of people out there to not never give up, to continue to fight throughout, regardless of what's going on. And, you know, for me and then everybody else, it puts a lot of things into perspective about just being appreciative of kind of being in the now and, you know, tell somebody you love them today. You know, we just lost a goal.
The most amazing part of him is his courage. What he's endured and the fight that he's put up, the courage that he's displayed during this situation is beyond my comprehension.
He loved the game like we love the game. That was his passion, was NBA basketball.
Almost 30 years, Craig Sager has been a part of my life. And when someone passes, we all have a guardian angel now.
If any of us could display half the courage he has to stay on this planet, to live every life as if it's his last, we'd be well off.
An unbelievable, you know, personality, obviously, and somebody that brought passion and life to everything that he put his hands on. And you can tell that by the way he handled his job, how he handled his family. And a guy will truly, truly be missed.
And we mourn his loss, but while we considered a moment of silence, we thought it would be more appropriate, given the way Craig lived his life and the joy that he brought to so many people, to have a moment of joy instead. So I'd like all of you to join me in an applause for a great man and a life well lived. Thank you.
When we came into the NBA, no one knew the sideline reporter's name.
No.
It was that guy over there, that guy from CBS, that guy from, you know, NBC.
Right.
But Craig gave it a name. He really did what almost like what Dennis Rodman did for rebounding. Mm. People didn't really think rebounding was a big deal. But Dennis Rodman said, oh, you could get paid and be a great rebounder and get noticed. And Craig did the same thing for sideline reporting. Now, I know most sideline reporters and players know their name and they're the same people. But the emulation started from that. Mm. And those relationships, KG, that you had, that was unique and that was new. You were the first guy that actually commented live about his clothing. Everyone thought it.
Right.
Everyone would think about it, but you were the first player to actually get on him about it, and then players kind of followed suit afterwards. But, you know, everyone knew his name. They didn't. It was funny. The last thing, Casey, when he's interviewing you, most guys, you answer the question. But when you really respect someone, you go, so Craig.
Right.
And they would say his name. That's the respect factor that when you get that as an interview, especially a sideline guy, that takes you to a whole nother
level. He also respected the people that he interviewed. Like, it might be a funny story. So I go back to Detroit, and Craig is supposed to do an interview with my father in the stands. So now that I work on this side, I understand. Somebody in your ear tell you who the father is. Mm. So my AAU coach, Mr. Montgomery, there, and he and Craig doesn't know, but he's like, hey, Mr. Weber, how you feel about your son? And my coach is answering the questions like he's my father. So Craig comes back after he's like, after the game, he apologized to me. I'm sorry, man, I didn't know. And we just laughed about it. But ever since then, he and my father were close because he would call my father in the summer, how you doing? My father came to All-Star game, got to spend time with him after the games and things like that. But he was a guy that really cared, really, really felt, you know, like he was a part of everybody's family. And it was cool how he treated all of our families and the athletes, though, but the families that were in the game watching.
The other thing is, and you were talking about it, the best ever. I mean, this is the best to ever do what he did. Right. And part of it, Shaq, you were referring to it earlier, is because he asked the right questions. Take a look. You might remember this.
Podiatrist, is that what it's called?
Yeah, podiatrist.
Okay. Spell that, tough guy.
P-O-D-I-A-T-R-I-S-T.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's P-E-D-I-A. Yeah, look it up. Tough guy.
Tough guy. Why were you just so small?
Act like you knew it, though.
No, I did know.
P-E-D.
P-E-D. Listen, he was a great guy, and he tried to hit me with the big words, and I was like, well, spell it. What's the smart thing? And, you know, after Muhammad Ali died this summer, I wanted to reflect. So I went on Netflix. I'm watching all the documentaries. And throughout his life, he had a relationship with Howard Cosell.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig Sager had the same type of relationship with mostly all the top players. And, you know, during the clip, you saw Jordan, you saw Kevin, you saw C-Webb, you saw Barkley, you saw myself. You know, that's the type of guy he was. And, you know, he will definitely be remembered. And I will say this for the rest of my life about Craig Sager. There will never be another one.
Yeah.
You know, people can imitate and try to wear the same suits. It was only.
But he evolved into that.
Yeah, he did.
He evolved because you can't get the respect of players if you don't ask the correct question. Yeah.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
QJ Henning here, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt on his way to Denver. Jay Moore enjoying Papa time with his newborn child. And we just had a little bit of audio there from inside the NBA last night and Craig Sager's passing, his battle lost to cancer. Last year, though, he was given the Jimmy V Award for Courage and spoke at the ESPYs. We did the same thing last year when Stuart Scott passed away, his memorable speech. We played it the day after he passed. We're going to do the same thing here as Craig Sager takes it away here as his ESPY speech this past summer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the recipient of the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance, Craig Sager.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Vice President, for the kind words and the struggles you have with your son, Bo. Your amazing fight, your determination, dedication for your whole career, your whole life forward to finding a cure for cancer. I am confident in you that one day soon we will wipe out cancer. First of all, I'd like to thank ESPN for this honor. Jimmy V's inspirational phone, constant source of encouragement and inspiration. And it's always at my bedside in the hospital, and I can listen to it anytime I want. So my thoughts are with the Balvano family, because this honor means a great deal to me. So thank you very much. I'd also like to thank my two families that are here. You saw their picture. First, my beloved bride, Stacy. She is my heaven on earth. In the darkest of moments, tears running down her cheeks, we embraced and we prayed. Please, don't leave me, she pleaded. We can fight this together. There's no fear in love, and your love is my strength. My children, Casey, Craig, Krista, Riley, Ryan, my sister Candy, Stacy's mother Mary Jo, my battle has been your battle. I would also like to thank my Turner Sports family. Many of them are here tonight. David Levy, Lenny Daniels, Craig Berry, Scooter Bertino, Matt Hong, Nate Smeltz. Your love and support since my first diagnosis has been incredible. And your willingness to adapt, to let me keep doing what I love, is something I will never forget. And the truth is that the Turner family is just part of a bigger family. All of you, the sports family. Sports are who I am in my soul. They have guided my life. And I have had the good fortune to witness all of your amazing feats. And I am confident that I will continue to watch those amazing feats. I have spent most of the past year and a half at the most impactful cancer hospital in the world, MD Anderson in Houston. And many nights I don't get out of the hospital until well after midnight, and I always take the same walking path back to the hotel. The sidewalks wind through a maze of buildings, including the Texas Children's Hospital. Many nights I'll stop, pause, and I'll go inside. And a few feet inside the hallway is this large model train display covered by glass. There are seven buttons on the outside. They activate the trains, the circus, the toys, and the trolley. And many nights, alone, in the stillness and solitude of the hospital, I push those buttons. And I watch the trains as they disappear through the tunnel and emerge full steam on the other side. I watch the trains as they pass by the town square, the Dinosaur Canyon, the Pirates Cove, Santa Land, and the ice skating rink. And I sit there, and I watch, and I listen. I listen to the sounds of the circus, of the kids laughing, and of the train chugging along. Now, I don't know why I am so drawn to this train set. Perhaps it's my life coming full circle. Maybe it's just the kid inside all of us. Or perhaps it's a few minutes in my life that leukemia cannot take from me. The train actually takes 2 minutes and 20 seconds to make a full loop. But what is time really? When you are diagnosed with a terminal disease like cancer, leukemia, your perception of time changes. When doctors tell you you have 3 weeks to live, do you try to live a lifetime of moments in 3 weeks? Or do you say, the hell with 3 weeks? When doctors tell you that your only hope of survival is 14 straight days of intense chemotherapy, 24 hours a day, do you sit there and count down the 336 hours? Or do you see each day as a blessing? Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not in endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life. I am not an expert on time or on cancer or on life itself. I'm a kid from the small Illinois town of Batavia who grew up on the Chicago Cubs and made sports his life's work, although there's never been a day where it actually seemed like work. I have run with the Bulls in Pamplona, I have raced with Mario Andretti in Indianapolis. I have climbed the Great Wall of China. I have jumped out of airplanes over Kansas. I have wrestled gators in Florida. I have sailed the ocean with Ted Turner. I have swam with the oceans in the Caribbean. And I have interviewed Greg Popovich. Mid-game, Spurs down 7. If I've learned anything through all of this, it's that each and every day is a canvas waiting to be painted. An opportunity for love, for fun, for living, for learning. To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world. The way you think influences the way you feel, and the way you feel determines how you act. And to everybody out there, we are making progress. Incredible progress. As the Vice President said, the Moonshot Program, we are going to find a cure for cancer. But we need your help. We must continue to donate. We must continue to fight. And we must continue to do this together. I am grateful to my parents, Coral and Al. They raised me with a positive outlook on life. I always see the glass half full. I see the beauty in others, and I see the hope for tomorrow. If we don't have hope and faith, we have nothing. Whatever I might have imagined a terminal diagnosis would do to my spirit, it summoned quite the opposite. The greatest appreciation for life itself. So I will never give up. And I will never give in. I will continue to keep fighting, sucking the marrow out of life as life sucks the marrow out of me. I will live my life full of love and full of fun. It's the only way I know how. Thank you and good night.
That was Craig Sager at this summer's past ESPYs, Jimmy V. Courage Award, speaking about against cancer. He was diagnosed with leukemia back in 2014. He underwent 3 bone marrow transplants. He went under 20 chemotherapy cycles, and having seen cancer straight up firsthand with my mother going through it and being a survivor herself, I know how tough chemotherapy is and how much those people go through or battling that every day. So, man, to go through 20 cycles, that's crazy. That's unfathomable to me, honestly. And that's why he was only given 3 to 6 months to live back those 6 months ago. And he tried like hell to beat it, unable to, but he really didn't lose. The way he lived his life, positive attitude, that's how I live my life, through an optimistic lens. And that's something Craig Sager always does. And I'm going to miss him seeing him every Thursday. Greg, I'll get your thoughts after the break because we're coming up next. But, man, he was there every Thursday getting ribbed by KG and all these other guys wearing those suits. And it was absolutely great, and going to miss Craig Sager, one of the best, if not the best, sideline reporters ever, and just reporters in general. He was absolutely tremendous. Hail Mary coming up at 5:05. We will draw for that. Still going to get one more qualifier here at the end of the first hour. Also in the second hour, we'll give away a free 6-month subscription to HailVarsity.com. Gives you access to all the message boards and premium content that you want. We'll be coming right back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now,
Back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
TJ Ending here, back in the Hale Varsity ESPN 1480 studios. Sitting in for Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore. Alongside me is Greg Smith of Gregeth and Smith. Greg, right before the end of the break there, we were playing the SBC from Craig Sager. Obviously a true legend who passed away. Want to get your thoughts about old Sags.
Yeah, I mean, there's legend is really the best word to describe him. I mean, we were talking during the break is that I don't remember the NBA without Craig Sager, like without him being around on the sidelines. And then the way that from him just being the guy that they went to on the sidelines, he'd ask a question and you knew he was wearing the crazy suits, but you weren't really paying all that much attention to him. And it just grew and grew. I think the stuff with your guy KG really helped. And then, of course, the Popovich thing really took it to a whole nother level. And that was kind of the in front of the camera thing that we saw. But the thing that always sticks with me is once we got to know more about his battle with cancer and started to really find out some of that behind the scenes stuff of him, you know, going through treatment and then basically telling his doctors that he needed to go work. There was a story that I think it was Ramona Shelburne that told on ESPN yesterday about how she was at a Clippers playoff game and he popped up, he went to work and told her that he told his doctors, hey, you guys said I needed to get up and walk around, so I might as well walk around and go to work.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that mindset going through that is just so amazing. Like, the toughness and the mental fortitude that it takes to be able to do something like that is just incredible.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, my mom's a cancer survivor, so I saw how tough chemotherapy can be on a person, and it can just wear you out. And for him to go out and do his job, report an NBA Finals game, Western Conference Finals, like, are you kidding me, Craig? Like, that's absolutely incredible. So kudos for him. Gonna miss him. One of the best. Just positive, optimistic outlook on life, and I love that. Try to bring that into my life as well. No easy way to transition after losing a legend like that, but that's what we're gonna do. The news in college football today would probably be the Leonard Fournette news. He is forgoing the bowl game against Louisville. He is not gonna play. He's just gonna go straight to the NFL draft and get ready for that. He quoted his best for my future. Me and Coach O came to the decision. We really thought it was the best for me. And look, I can't disagree with him. I think I'm on his side. I know it's bad to quit on your teammates. I don't think quitting is ever good. But listen, football is a violent sport. Your career is short. I think you have to go. If they don't give you a chance when you go straight out of high school, which many folks aren't ready, 18 to play in the NFL, only a few guys like him or Adrian Peterson would be ready to do that, then I think he needs to be able to go and take his money. He needs to forget this bowl game. It's a meaningless bowl game. If it was like a BCS game, this guy would be playing. Yeah. He would be in it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I think he has every right to do that. Greg, your thoughts?
You know, I'm with you. I think this is one of those things that we talk about that where it's kind of a shock to the system, right? You're not used to seeing a guy even as big time as Leonard Fournette being able to say, hey, man, I'm not playing in this game and risking my knees. I'm trying to go get this money. Like, you don't hear, you just don't. I mean, which is essentially what he's saying.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. It was a bunch more flowery than that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what he's saying. He's ready to go get this money, ready to go train and get ready for the NFL, which is fine. That's his right. You do, by the way, go to college so that you can get a job. He has fulfilled all the things he needs to do to be able to go and get ready for that ultimate job interview and ultimately to get that job in the NFL. I don't have a problem with this. And I don't even necessarily think, I'm glad though that you mentioned quitting, because I'm curious to see if his teammates view it that way. Because I would think that a lot of those guys, if they were in that position, I think would consider that. Now, there's some of them that obviously would not do it, but I don't know, and I don't know if this is necessarily going to be a trend, necessarily a big-time trend in college football, because there's only so many guys that really fall into this category, right? You're only going to, every year, you're maybe going to have a handful of guys that would fall into the category that would be able to pull something like this off and not have you go, what are you kind of thinking? Because there was a guy, and forget his name, forgive me, it was a defensive player from Oklahoma that decided to leave the team. Instead of coming back from injury, he left the team. and decided to just get ready for the draft season. And that was met with a little bit of, because he was a, I think he was like a second or third team All Big 12 last year.
When you look Charles at that, Walker is his name?
Maybe. I cannot remember his name, but that one is where you're like, that's a little weird.
Because that happened close to midseason.
Right. And that was a while back when that happened. So with Leonard Fournette, though, I really understand that. Like, if, let's say Dalvin Cook did that, just to stick even with running backs, if Dalvin Cook did that with Florida State, I'd feel much the same way. Mm-hmm. It'd be perfectly fine for him to go ahead and do that.
So do you remember Jalen Smith at all?
No.
Does that name ring a bell?
No. Jalen's linebacker maybe from Notre Dame?
Yes. Okay. There you go. See, I didn't remember it myself either. But he got hurt in a bowl game as well and kind of ruined his career a bit.
Yeah.
But somehow the Cowboys, they still took him in the second round, but he has yet to play a snap for them. And he was an ultra-talented guy. I went back and looked at his highlights. I was holy cow.
Yeah, he was
this
really
guy
good.
Was amazing. But it was all derailed because of an injury in college, and he now was unable to get the money that he could probably have earned had he stayed healthy because of that game. And I was thinking of the running back from South Carolina.
Oh,
Marcus Lattimore. Mm-hmm. That terrible injury he had, final year of his college football season, was unable to declare because that was still his junior season.
Right.
And it all ruined for him. So I don't have a problem at all with Leonard Fournette doing it. Do you think they need to change the amount of time they spend in college? Do you think that's something that they should look at?
You know, I really don't, because the way that the rule is set up right now, where you have to be 3 years removed from high school to be able to enter the NFL draft, I really feel like 95%, and that's probably even a little low, 95% of guys in college football are not ready before then. They're just not. And so you're going to have, and I think the two people that you mentioned and we talked about, Leonard Fournette and Adrian Peterson, are really the two outliers. Like, I don't
know.
There
might be like,
there may be like a
left tackle.
We could
have thrown Clowney in there,
maybe you could throw Clowney in there. But I feel like, though, for him, even with him, with all of the injuries that he's had, I feel like he wouldn't have been ready. And that, not to say that, I mean, Fournette has had his share of injuries as well during college, which is part of the thing that's fueling this. But there are very few guys that could have made that jump from high school or even maybe after your freshman year of college to be able to make that jump. It's just a really tough thing to do for the NFL.
I feel like maybe it should be moved down to just 2 years. Get to your 20s and maybe you'd be ready. You know, do they want it at 21, 3 years, so you're likely to be 21? You can be of legal limit to go drinking out with your NFL teammates or something like that.
I always find that odd in the NBA. Like, I always think about that. Like, you're a 19-year-old kid, Brandon Ingram, for example, coming to the Lakers. And what do you do when your, like, grown man teammates go out? And, you know, like, what happens there? The dynamics of that have to be fascinating. They have to be, like, a book on that somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's super interesting on what happens to you as a young teenager with adults and now trying to make your own decisions and all of this money that you get. Like, that's really interesting to me.
There's no doubt, though, that they get in wherever they want.
Absolutely.
If you've ever been out, you're a young person, you've ever been out, you've seen underage people.
And especially in big cities and with celebrities. Yes, absolutely.
So they're always going to get in no matter what. But Todd McShay has him as the number one overall prospect.
Fournette?
Yeah, which is crazy for a running back nowadays.
I don't have him as the number one overall running back. I think Dalvin Cook. I would pick Dalvin Cook over Leonard Fournette, yeah.
I mean, I'd be fine with that too, but
right.
I usually don't get caught up in highlight videos, but man, Leonard Fournette,
he's got,
like,
some great ones.
I mean, those were like AP style, man. He was just absolutely crazy. All right, coming up next segment, we are going to get you qualified one final time for the Holiday Hail Mary if you have not yet, and then at 5:05. We're going to draw for that bad boy. So stick around. Hail Varsity Radio. TJ Henning, Greg Smith, coming back at you.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
TJ Henning here, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Greg Smith of Greg Ethan Smith, from 9 to 12, Monday through Friday, is in the studio with me as well. Coming up, Holiday Hail Mary, we draw for it at 5:05. Make sure you're listening in. If we draw your name, you got a call back to win your prize. Greg, you went and saw Rogue One last night. Thoughts?
First of all, for you guys, I will not spoil it for you.
Good.
It was okay. Diet Star Wars is the way that we described it on our show when we talked to our movie guy, Matt Quintero.
Okay. Oh, love Matt.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's terrible. Like, I feel like if you like Star Wars, you're going to like the film. You're going to enjoy it. I liked it. It was fine. It was not, to me, because people will always ask to kind of rank them, it was not for me as good as The Force Awakens, which was really, really good. So it was okay. It had some nice callbacks to the old movies. You'll see some nice cameos in there. And it had, you know, your typical Star Wars stuff. It was okay.
Okay. I'm anxious to check it out.
Go and see it. I would say still go and see it. Because it's funny, because I say that it was just okay, but I keep all of the stuff that I see on Twitter about it, people, you know, giving it the standing ovation, Shia LaBeouf clap, yeah, GIF out there. All sorts of people are excited about it. It's Star Wars. Of course, people are going to go see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to see. I think I need to see that Office Christmas Party first.
Okay.
But then I'll definitely get to that. We got a little time. I was going to bring this up some point in the show. We got, yeah, got 2 minutes here. We might carry into another episode. So on Tuesday, you kind of got people riled up on Twitter with a certain unpopular opinion.
Did I? Oh.
That was non-political unpopular opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Your unpopular opinion is that Will Ferrell movies are terrible.
Yes, but they are not. And to give me my fair just due, okay, my exact quote was, Will Ferrell has not starred in one single funny movie. That was my,
my exact quote.
Was that better or worse?
I think that's worse, okay. Which is what you want, but not what I want to hear.
Are you kidding? That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, terrible.
So, like, obviously I'm a big Will Ferrell fan. I love him. Like, The Other Guys is one of my favorites.
It is. I thought of you when somebody responded with that movie.
Step Brothers, obviously, is an all-time great. I mean, the list goes on and on. Anchorman. Did you ever like the SNL Will Ferrell? Did that ever appeal to you?
No. But then again, I didn't, like, SNL in general is just a complete miss for me. Like, I've never been,
like, you've
an
never
SNL
been into
guy.
It.
You know, okay. I've never been into it.
Fair
never.
Enough. So how about like the Funny or Die stuff? That's his website. Do you find any of that stuff?
Some of that was funny.
Okay.
Some of it, most of the stuff that didn't involve him. some of that was funny, yeah.
Oh,
sorry,
man.
Not my cup of tea, but
no,
I have some weird,
fine.
Like, I got a couple of weird ones like that. They're like, so you would think based on me saying that, like, I love Superbad. Right? Like that usually surprises people because of that. It's just a weird thing. Like, I'm just, Will Ferrell, nah, man.
And then, we can say this for later, too. Your boy, Christopherson, hating on Bill Murray movies, too.
I actually kind of agree with him.
Yeah,
on that.
No.
Yeah, like, I
Murray's the man.
Ghostbusters, and that's it.
Oh, that's like a Bill Murray movie I don't like. I did
really?
Not like Ghostbusters.
You don't like Ghostbusters?
Dude, the production of that movie was terrible.
That's an unpopular opinion if I ever heard
of it. Gosh, okay. We're almost out of time. We got to get people qualified. Final time to qualify for the Holiday Hail Mary. Caller 6 right now, 402-466-3776. Your chance, a Schrock Innovation Windows 10 tablet, a Jet Splash car wash gift card, and a remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln. Caller 6, 402-466-3776. We're drawn for that at 505. You got to be listening to win, all right?
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
All right, it is finally that time. Holiday Hail Mary giveaway.
Yes.
It's coming up in under a minute, maybe, something like that. But TJ Henning here, Greg Smith, rocking it out for Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore. Schmitty headed up to Denver for New England, Denver this Sunday. Jay Moore enjoying Papa time with the newborn. We had a lot of callers there, Greg, on the last qualifier,
sneak in in the last minute.
But we are down. No more qualifying time. It is winning time. What do you do during wintertime? And if you qualified for the Holiday Hail Mary, here's what you have a chance to win. A Schrock Innovation Windows 10 tablet, $500 value. A Jet Splash car wash gift card valued at $100. And a remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln, valued at $450. And boy, wouldn't that be nice on a day like today where it is icy, my friend.
Yes.
Here we go. I am rummaging through the box.
Rummaging.
There are a lot of names.
I can hear the rummaging. I think it's full, man.
Now listen, I'm going to offer a glimmer of hope.
Not to me. I got excited. I don't know why.
To the audience. We're going to draw the name. If that person does not respond by the end of this segment, we will draw a new name at the end of the next segment. So whoever we draw, you have until the end of this segment to call back in to claim and win your prize. All right. I got a name.
If it's my handwriting, you won't be able to read it.
Grant Plybon. If that is you, call back in to ESPN 1480 402-466-3776. His last name is Plybon. I'm assuming Plybon. However you say it, Grant. I drew your name. Call back in 402-466-3776. You have about 16 minutes to do so, less than. We'll see if he calls in or if we're going to have another drawing next segment.
For some reason, I'm nervous, but I'm rooting for you, Grant.
Hey, man. That's a lot of value on the line.
Yeah, that's a big prize, man.
That's like close to 1,500. No, that's over 1,000.
It's over 1,000, yeah. It's over $1,000 value.
You know, math's never been a strong point for me, but that's all
right. Yeah, I do radio, not math. But.
Yeah, right. That's why we're in journalism school. You only had to take one math class in college. Shout out to the J school. Okay. Nebraska basketball. It gets going again this Sunday. They pick up after not playing at all this week for finals week, taking the night off. Greg, I'm going to have you do a quick thing, though.
Gotcha. All right. Did you know that buzz driving is drunk driving? Having a few beers or drinks after work or on game day at a special party or special event and getting behind the wheel with that buzz is being impaired. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska are alcohol-related, and many of those drivers involved were buzz driving. About 10,000 drivers are arrested for drunk driving each year in Nebraska. You can reduce your risk of being involved in a crash or being arrested for drunk driving by planning ahead. Identify a sober designated driver or find alternative transportation. Remember, if you drink and drive, you lose. And if you see a suspected drunk driver, please call *55 or 911 to report that vehicle. This message is from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety.
Well, Greg, we have our winner. Grant Plybon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, congratulations, man. Hey,
congrats,
how you feeling?
Man.
Thank you. Feel good.
What do you plan to do next?
I guess go wash my car and.
There you go.
So this is for you. This is you are not about to throw a Hail Mary to someone else. This is for you.
Well, that's awesome, man. Glad you won. Glad you called back in. Glad you're listening to ESPN 1480. And congratulations.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Congrats, Grant.
There it is, Grant Plybon. I'm bad with names sometimes, man. That's how I am, but congratulations to him. That's a lot of value.
Winning.
Winning. There we go. A little Charlie Sheen action for you. All right, Nebraska basketball. 5-5 right now as we head into the two final non-conference games against Gardner-Webb on Sunday and then Southern University on Tuesday. And then after that, you start conference play at Indiana, at Maryland.
Ooh.
That's pretty tough. So realistically, this team probably looking at 7-5 non-con and then possibly 7-7 going into after two games of the conference play. And that's really when you can pick up your charge when you have games against Northwestern and Iowa. What have you seen so far from Nebraska basketball this season, Greg? What do you like? What do you not like?
I'll start, I guess, with the bad because that seems to be dominating the conversation. The offense, or lack thereof, has been it's troubling. It's not unexpected, I would say, because of the youth of this basketball team. But that part has been the most troubling thing is that it doesn't feel like there's anything really different about this offense from maybe, say, the Doc Sadler days, which is not a good thing to call back to when it comes to offense with Nebraska basketball. Basketball. It's tough, but it's hard because they just don't have a lot of guys that can create their own shots and that are able to create shots for other people as well. You would like to see maybe your point guard, Lynn Watson, be able to get to the lane and then dish it out to other guys to help get them some easier shots. But I think you're also seeing some timidness out there on the court as well, where it feels like guys, particularly McVay and Jacobson outside, aren't as aren't as quick to pull the trigger on those three-pointers anymore. You saw, I think it was in the Kansas game, a guy get pulled and get yelled at for shooting a quick three. It just feels like some guys are a little shy to shoot the rock out there from three.
So I'm going to keep hitting the hammer on the head here. I was very concerned about this team's three-point shooting going into the season. Even if we had Andrew White, I was still worried about it because he's an elite three-point shooter, but beyond him, the only guy you really could think who could consistently hit would be Jack McVay. And right now, Jack McVay is hitting 32.7% from three. He's a guy who needs to be shooting close to 40, if not 40% for three, for him to be effective. Because, look, his pump fakes and just one or two dribbles down to the baseline aren't really creating anything. He's kind of getting trapped. But here we are, 30.1% from three, 318th out of 351 teams. That is not getting it done.
No.
There's only, I believe, one or two Power 5 teams like in that area with you. Ty Webster, he's kind of been a nice surprise, 39.5% from three. He's never really been a three-point shooter, so that's nice to see. Glenn Watson, 33.3, just a sophomore. I think that's pretty good. I think you would take that from him.
Yeah, I would.
But then becomes Jack McVay, 32.5%. Michael Jacobson, 17.6% from three, which is crazy because I don't mind him taking those three-pointers. I feel like he can turn into what Brandon Ubell did his senior season.
Okay.
And he was able to hit the three, I think, around about 30%. And obviously Jacobson took those shots last year, so you could tell that he was comfortable doing that in high school. He just, you got to shoot better than the 17.5% for three if you're going to take those. Anton Gill, 26% from three. He's career 25% three-point shooter at Louisville. Yeah. I don't want him taking any threes unless it's from the corner. That's the only three I've been able to see him make. And then you have Isaiah Roby, 14.5% from three, and Jariah Horn, 20% from three. If you're a team that struggles to score, the points in the paint has been a surprise for me how well we've improved that mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ty Webster's improvedness has helped that, getting to the paint. The way he's finishing this year is really impressive, along with Glenn Watson, but in today's basketball, man, you got to be able to space the floor. Not having any three-point shooters is really detrimental to this team right now.
Yeah, and it's crazy because in a way, I completely agree with you. Like, especially the way the basketball has evolved, you need to be able to have more guys to be able to shoot the three. I don't know though that they have enough shooters on the team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is this a case of they're just shooting poorly, or they're just not very good three-point shooters? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's the latter, and that's
what I'm concerned about. Like, you need for as many guards and kind of swingman as they've been able to recruit under Miles or bring in via transfer, because that, as we know, because we have all the documented struggles about getting the big man in, even though you got Jordy this past recruiting class, and he's been playing pretty well for his relative inexperience. For all of those guys, you don't have a lot of shooters in that group. There's just not a lot of them. And for a team that struggles to score and goes on those droughts, you would like to see them be able to hit more of those threes. But I also wonder, though, going to getting easier buckets, not just the three-pointers, but maybe getting to the free throw line some more as well. That's something else that concerns me when it comes to this offense.
So you brought up the free throw line, and I'm going to go over to some positives now. One positive is the free throw shooting. Nebraska is shooting 78% from the free throw line. That's 13th in the nation of 351 teams. And not to mention that their free throw defense has been pretty good too, you know, which is more about luck than actual defense on the free throw line. But hey, they'll take it. Ty Webster really improved. Big jump here from junior to senior year. I've seen a lot of tweets about him being the poster boy for like the development of a Nebraska basketball player. He's up there, but to me, he's not the poster. There was no growth from freshman to sophomore year, if you look at his stats. There really was not. And from sophomore to junior, yeah, there was a pretty good step. He really struggled at the beginning of his junior year, and so trip up to New York, Brooklyn, where they played that tournament and took on Cincinnati, that's kind of when he started to play better. But yeah, the jump is there. I don't know if he's the poster boy, because I'd like to see like increased improvement each of the years instead of maybe just one big leap, but without him, we'd really be lost right now. Ed Morrow, man, if that guy could have been healthy going into last season, his freshman season, I mean, the way he is dominating the boards right now is really impressive, Greg.
Yeah, he'd be further along. Like you can see the potential there with him. And I thought where you were going to go with that is something that I get a lot from people watching the basketball games, which is, why don't they give him the ball more? Like, I hear that all the time about feed Ed Morrow, which I tend to agree with, especially because he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to have to count on moving forward here. And as you look ahead to the next couple of years, like, he's going to have to be one of your main guys. And that's a good thing, because I think he has a lot of potential out there. I wish that he had been able to be fully healthy last year as well, though, to continue to accelerate his growth.
Yeah, A-board's a game right now, and he's really just killing it on the offensive glass. Here, I compared him on Twitter the other couple months ago to Udonis Haslem. He has athleticism, but it doesn't blow me away. And his jump shot looks a lot like Udonis. The way he jumps, dunks it, rhymes with Udonis. Maybe not there defensively, because Udonis was a tremendous defensive player, but, man, he's really been an improvement. Him and Glenn, those were the top two guys in that recruiting class, along with Jacobson and McVay. Mm-hmm. And so those two guys need to keep going along. And the Jim Molinari defense, that's been really surprising. Allowing 66.5 points per game. That's 84th out of 351 teams. Now, defense has been there under Doc. It's been there under Miles. So that's no surprise. But it's nice to see it there. It maybe wasn't as much there when you had Pettaway and Pitchford, but you were outscoring teams. So you didn't necessarily need it. Any other positives from you that stick out?
I want to continue on the defense, because while that is a positive, because it's continued, I also think that it feels like, and I don't know why this always has to be the case with Nebraska basketball, that it feels like it's an either or proposition with their offense or defense. Either you have great defense and you're struggling to score the basketball, or you have really good offense in the case of those Pettaway and Pitchford teams, and your defense struggles a little bit. While that defense is a big positive for this team, it sometimes feels like it ends up being a detriment because of the way that it then affects the offense. And I don't know where that comes from, because you mentioned that it was like that under Doc as well. And we've both played basketball. You know, it's not at the college level, but we've played. And I've never thought of, hey, I got to play really good defense and that's going to make my offense struggle. But for whatever reason, in Nebraska basketball, like, it always happens that way.
Yeah, UNO, the Mavericks, they play a fun style of basketball. Yeah. They get up and down. The teams we've played this year, UCLA, Kansas, Creighton, and that's another part of this. Nebraska has played the toughest schedule in college basketball this season.
They definitely have, yeah.
And I'm not sure that was probably the best thing for this squad. Maybe if this team was more experienced.
Next year, this would have been a better thing for them.
But hopefully this will pay dividends towards next year, or maybe this season, because the Big Ten's down. Maybe they can make a run where they win 7 out of 9 or something like that against, like, Rutgers, Minnesota, Penn State, teams like those, kind of make something happen here. Now, towards the end of the Kansas game, second half, Tim Miles came out with a new starting lineup. He said he was only going to play the guys who seemed tough and wanted to play, and those guys were Ty Webster, Evan Taylor, Anton Gill, Ed Morrow, and Jordy Shimanga. So that means Glenn Watson, Michael Jacobson, and Jack McVay started on the bench. Now, there's talks that he might still go with that same five going in the next game. I'm not sure how I feel about that, because Evan Taylor, nice guy, nice complimentary player, good on defense. He probably actually had his best game at KU.
Especially
offensively, because previously offensively he really hasn't given us much. I'm not so high on him, because honestly we wouldn't have him had Andrew White stayed. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of a body, JUCO body, eligible to play right away. I know we need to get Anton Gill going. I'm not sure it's maybe in starting him in the starting lineup, maybe that would do it, but maybe. I'm hesitant about that.
Yeah, and I think that's been one of the things that's, I guess, holding this team back right now, even though, like, I hesitate to say holding them back, because what are your expectations with that tough of a schedule? And I think that I don't know if that gets enough talk, to be totally honest, about how tough that schedule is in combination with the youth of this team and them not maybe being ready for that type of schedule. It just happened to kind of work out that way. They didn't design it that way. But I think that maybe inserting Gill into the starting lineup will help him. It can't hurt, right? Because
we need him
to come up bigger on the offensive end in particular.
Yeah, and I want to see more run out of the freshman, Jordy Shimanga. I want to see more Isaiah Roby. And he's kind of dealing with what Ed Morrow suffered last year. He had that preseason injury, the pelvis injury, kept him out 3 months, kind of set him back. And I want to see more Jarai Horn. I've seen that guy. He's only shooting 20% from three, but he's got a really nice stroke. I think he lost close to 20 pounds to move to the three position where he was at four in high school.
Still excited for this team, though.
Yeah.
They got so many young players. All those guys you were just naming off, so young. I'm excited for their futures.
Still want to see that. All right, congrats again to Grant Plybon, our winner of the Holiday Hail Mary, over $1,000 of value. Congrats again to Grant. We're still going to give away the free 6 months later in the second hour to Hail Varsity Online. Get you on the message board, premium content. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery coming back.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
TJ Henning, Greg Smith, filling in for Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Starter Heyman is offering instant discounts and giving away free trips with qualifying purchase now through December 31st. Get your significant other the gift she really wants and get a free trip too. When only the best will do, see Starter Heyman for jewelers. For jewelers, see store for details, Lincoln and Grand Island, starterheyman.com. And oh yeah, those trips include Vegas and Cancun. So those might be some places you want to go with this weather out there. So go to starterheyman.com. All right, Chris Schmidt's away. TJ Henning will finally get to talk some NBA. Just made a nice little rhyme there.
I like it. I'm with you.
I got Greg in with me. I don't have time for the ESPN 1480 NBA podcast anymore, which is kind of sad, but we'll have a little brief here one right now. I'm missing Nick Gregor for this part. But hey, quarter of the way done with the NBA season already. They just got a collective bargaining agreement done. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday. So there will be no lockout. It's another 7-year deal. Those usually go from 7 to 10. They can review it again after 7 years. If they like it, they can go for another 3 to go up to 10. So not going to miss any games. Draymond Green was the only player who really seemed upset to me about that.
And considering his position and why he was upset because essentially the money did not necessarily trickle down to the little guy in the NBA. It really, and if you look at some of this stuff and that the numbers, I don't have them right in front of me. I wish I did, but the Paul George and what he can sign for coming up here, where his starting salary is like $41 million or something like that. There's some deals like Steph Curry's going to end up getting like a $207 million, yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, he's in line for a $207 million payday under the new deal. Now, listen, that's what happens, though, and I think that an underrated part of what happened during these CBA negotiations, that's what happens when the big dogs in the league are your representatives.
Yeah.
Usually that's not the case, right? Usually it's actually, just to throw out a random guy that people do know, the Red Mamba, Brian Scalabrine, he's usually the type of guy on your NBA team that is going out there negotiating in these CBA deals, not usually Chris Paul and LeBron James. That's what happened on this one. No surprise that this is how this ended up.
I think those guys saw Tyler Johnson get $51 million over 3 years, and they're like, what?
I mean, you can't.
What am I worth if Tyler Johnson is getting 51 from my Miami Heat?
And you know that, by the way, guys like LeBron James and Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, those guys are never really going to get full market value for what they're worth to a franchise, specifically LeBron James, and they call that the LeBron rule.
And especially while the NBA has a salary cap,
right?
Which I want the NBA to have a salary cap.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't think I'd want it
otherwise.
To be MLB
style. You would end up having a situation where there'd be more teams like the Warriors.
Oh, there would be four teams, many super teams.
And actually, there's an article here from CBS Sports, and I'll tweet this out here in a minute, at Greg Smith Sports, talking about what's about to happen to the Warriors even under this new deal and as the cap explodes, because they're going to end up having a situation where they've got, four guys, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. They bring those guys back. They'll have a $116 million payroll for those four guys.
Jeez.
In a couple of seasons. So they're going to have to do some tricky cap math here to keep that team going. But for now, it's super fun.
Oh, man. I love super teams. So the more the merrier for me. And speaking of super teams, the Warriors, man, basketball porn. They are just so beautiful to watch, averaging 117 points per game. And defensively, they're still pretty good. 8th out of 30 in defensive rating, which is 104.6 points per 101 possessions. So that's really good. Look, man, 142 the other night against the Pacers. Klay's 60 points in under 30 minutes. The look these guys are getting, and they're not hitting right now. That's what's crazy. Like, Klay and Curry are shooting below 40% from three right now. And that's, even Durant is. I think he's at 39%. But Durant, Durant's overall field goal percentage is the highest it's ever been at 53%. And what I love right now is that we are getting best of the both worlds. We are getting ultra-efficient, ball-moving, pleasing to Durant. He's getting what he wants, and we are also getting balls to the wall, Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Russell Westbrook right now is averaging a triple-double. 30.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, 10.5 assists. The only negative is he's averaging 5.5 turnovers and shooting 32% from three. But look, man, what he's doing is incredible. What Durant's doing is incredible. Best of both worlds, Greg. It's
no,
awesome.
We absolutely are getting the best of both worlds. It's so funny, though, about Kevin Durant, because those are – or not Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, because those are always the two things that people would always point to, though, when you had those arguments about Russ versus KD, who's the alpha dog, who should be taking that last shot, who's the better player on that team. The two numbers – field goal percentage, turnovers, and that still is getting Westbrook in a way, but it's incredible to watch what he's doing. Kevin Durant, it's weird because Kevin Durant being around other really good players and multiple, like, star-level players, it just makes him that much better because now, and that's why I think his field goal percentage ends up going up, because you can't devote as much defensive attention to him because you just can't, because you have to commit to running out on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But if you do that, you're leaving Kevin Durant open as well, and we already know, even with defenses keying on him, what he can do. It's a really, really tough matchup, to say the least.
Oh, they're unguardable.
When you're going to, if the Warriors are not just completely cold, which is also very difficult to have all three of those guys go cold, three of the best shooters in the league, probably three of the best five shooters in the league on that team, it's hard to have it where they're all off in a night, which is also why it's going to be so difficult to beat them in a 7-game series.
Plus, you have those four guys on the court, but even when you substitute, Kerr is keeping at least two of those guys on the court at the same time. So imagine your bench unit is having to face Kevin Durant and Draymond Green.
Right.
Or Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, that is scary. And I finally love that Kerr is going, he's starting JaVale McGee. Like, Zaza's a nice player, but you know JaVale, as boneheaded as he is, like, the potential is still
he's
there.
A
like,
talented
do you remember
player.
That Denver playoff series when he was with Denver?
Absolutely.
And he was a monster.
And he is not there. It's not a lack of talent that has kept him from reaching, you know what I mean, reaching his potential. It's all mental. It is all upstairs. And so if you can catch lightning in a bottle, he can be a guy that can cancel out and some, like, what has been, what people think is going to be their Achilles heel when they go up against, say, the Spurs or the Cavs in a finals, where you end up in a situation where you need some serviceable big man play. He can hold his own against a guy like Tristan Thompson. He really can. You don't need him to do any more than hold his own and then let the rest of those guys go to work.
So, moving around to the rest of the league, it's been a tough year with heartbreaks. Brad and Angelina split up. Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck split up. So, my new favorite couple of the year is James Harden and Mike D'Antoni. And the beautiful offensive relationship that has been born between these two. Harden is averaging, I believe, 27.5 and almost 12 assists per game. And I think D'Antoni mentioned, like, he should be averaging 15 assists a game. And he was doing that for, like, the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, for the first couple
which
weeks.
Which is crazy. Look, Houston had kind of been kind of unwatchable for me under the McHale years there and having Dwight Howard. But, man, I've always been a big Mike D'Antoni, Steve Nash. That was, like, my favorite offense to watch besides these Warriors. Now you bring in D'Antoni, and Harden is just this point god, and he is just making things happen. It is incredible to watch.
It is incredible to watch, and I'm so glad you brought him up next, because it's a guy that I feel like is getting lost in the shuffle almost, and what's going on with the super team, with the Warriors, what Russell Westbrook is doing with all of the triple-doubles, and then you sprinkle in then who the next guy is that people want to watch, or the next storyline, our team, you know, what's going on with the Bucks, the Knicks, all of that stuff, you know, Porzingis and all of that, resurgent Lakers, got to get that plug in, even though they've sucked as of late, but that's okay. It's injuries. Sorry. So, you know, I could not throw that in there somehow.
I was even going to throw your bone soon. Okay.
I know you can still do that. We can circle back to it. But James Harden is having just a great year. He's a perfect fit for that offense. Like, he really is. And what makes him so much, what makes him even more dangerous with Steve Nash was, is he is obviously a better scorer than Steve Nash was, though Nash was a very good scorer and capable.
Oh, yeah.
James Harden obviously has an array of moves, obviously can get to the free throw line at will, which is a weird thing to say about someone as an attribute that's not a big man. And he helps to get other guys open as well because you have to devote attention to him. And he's actually so much more of a willing passer than people have ever given him credit for. He's a perfect fit for that.
And he's not looking to draw the foul all the time now.
No.
I mean, he's just looking to score and make things happen for other teammates. And remember the James Harden that first went to Houston, like his first two games, I think he had like over 45 points in both of them.
Yeah.
Like that's the guy we're getting right now, but just adding some passing. And it's absolutely beautiful to watch. All right, Greg, I'll throw the bones to you. The Lake Show are watchable. They are fun and watchable. How did Luke Walton do this so fast?
Wait, that's the bone, that they're watchable.
I mean, is it just simply Byron Scott out, enter Luke Walton?
Yes, that's I mean, the biggest thing. That's the and because and what comes with that is two different things. It's one, with inserting Luke Walton, you have now an energy around the team that's more positive. It's a more positive environment. Though the other night he got purposely ran from a game. He also called them soft, and Byron was famous for that. But that was more. I think you take that differently when it's coming from him because of the way that he's been running the organization. But you also get a modern offense. You get an offense that belongs in 2016. They are trying to run essentially what the Warriors run. They do not have the high, no one has the level of shooters that the Warriors have. So you're not going to be able to exactly replicate that and what that does to put pressure on a defense. But they do have some good ones, and they have capable guys on the outside, because what it seems like now is that they have a bunch of like actual NBA players, right? And that's why ultimately when you say that they're watchable, that is a great, I take that as a great compliment. I'm joking with you, but I take it as a great compliment because they were not that way. They didn't have guys. I went and watched a Lakers game 2 years ago. They played against Memphis. Kobe had a great moment when he was yelling at Jeremy Lin. I was very happy to see that. But they had guys on that team that did not belong on NBA rosters. They don't have that so much anymore now, and it's going to pay off for them going forward.
I wanted to get to this, too, before the end of the segment. I predicted the Knicks to make the playoffs, and then I remember watching their first game of the year. I believe it was against Cleveland, and I ran into you the next day, and I was like, how did I pick the Knicks to make the playoffs? Because I remember after watching their bench that night, I was like, who are these guys? Like, and I'm a guy who follows the NBA, but I was like, what is this bench? Phil Jackson, what are you doing? But right now, the Knicks, they're tied for third in the East. They're 14-12, yet they have a negative point differential.
They do. Still, yes.
So that just kind of shows you still the East is a little bit far behind. But look, Phil Jackson got Kristaps Porzingis, and that guy's special.
That'll be the thing that ultimately he
can
hang his
hat
on. Yeah, if not for that, they'd be running him out of there already. but I'm curious. I'm so much more curious to see what happens to the Knicks after the Carmelo era. Like, once they – that Joe Kim Noah deal, though, by the way, one of the worst deals in NBA history. Like, he can't play anymore.
One former superstar, one really energized player, past their prime, in their mid to 30s. Let's go get him.
After Tibbs used him.
Oh, Tibbs. The mileage players get from Tibbs, man.
Yeah.
Look at the Wolves right now.
Look at
the
Luol
Wolves.
Deng
second
too.
To last in defensive rating. Tibbs team.
I can't believe that.
Those young pups, man, they gotta learn some effort. They gotta learn a little defense. All right, Friday forecast coming up next, a little bit different, Bowl Pick'em Edition. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Welcome back into Hail Varsity Radio. TJ Henning, Greg Smith. Getting close to winding down here on a Friday. Again, congratulations to Grant Plybon, our Holiday Hail Mary winner. A lot of value in that giveaway. All right, so no official Friday forecast, but me and Greg are going to get you ready for the bowl games that get going tomorrow. There's six of them tomorrow. So a day full of football finally again, so that'll be nice. Now, a lot of these, we may not have hard-hitting analysis, because honestly, I don't know what I could tell you besides Grambling State that I think they have a good band.
They got the band. That's the best band.
And then not even Division I.
No. No, so they got the
did
great
we not
band.
Have enough 5-7 teams? What's going on here?
I guess not, but they do have a great band.
Oh, my goodness. Like to me, there's never enough football because it's so short, but what are we doing here? First matchup, Air Force Reserve Celebration, NC Central, and speaking of Grambling State, I'm going Grambling, baby. That band, they're going to win the game.
That is the exact same reason I'm going to pick them, that band.
Gildan, New Mexico. New Mexico versus University of San Antonio. Greg, who you like?
God, I'm going to go with UTSA in this one. Just because it's cool to say UTSA.
Dude, New Mexico, the game's in Albuquerque. Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's a home game for New Mexico. I like them. All right, here's an actual good game tomorrow. Las Vegas, Houston versus San Diego State.
Sneaky good game. Yeah. I have to semicircle that to check that
I'm
one
going
out.
With Major Applewhite, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Greg Ward Jr.
I'm going to go with Houston, that defensive tackle that I can't remember his name. They're talking about true freshmen that might be able to go.
The first ever recruit to pick a non-Power 5 school. Right. Number one overall. Yeah, he's a really talented guy. Raycom Media Camellia. Camilla. Appalachian State Toledo. I like the Toledo Rockets of the MAC to beat the Appalachian State defeating Michigan Wolverines team.
You know what? Now I'm going to go with Appalachian State because the only thing we can all remember about App State is that they beat Michigan once upon a time.
And that they almost beat Tennessee this year.
They should have beaten Tennessee.
Oh, man, they should have won that game. Auto Nation Cure Bowl. Scott Frost versus Arkansas State.
I love the names of these bowls.
Let's go, Scotty Frost. UCF wins that one.
I'm going to go with UCF because my sister went there.
Oh, nice. Is that a nice campus?
It's
you ever
a beautiful
toured?
Campus. Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
In Orlando. Everything's really new. It's a really nice campus. Yeah.
R&L Carriers, New Orleans. Southern Miss, UL Lafayette. I'm taking Lafayette because final week when I picked them in a college pick them, they did really well for me, so... Thank you, Lafayette.
I'm going to go with Southern Miss. The hard-hitting analysis here will be that I have a friend that went there. So I'm going to go with Southern Miss.
The Miami Beach Bowl. Man, there are a lot of bowls. Central Michigan versus so Tulsa. I like the Chippewas over the former Cody Glens. Cody Greens.
Yeah, I'm going to also go with the Chippewas as well because they always seem to have a pretty nice squad.
The Boca Raton Bowl, Memphis versus Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky just lost their coach, Brom, to Purdue. And obviously Memphis last year lost their coach. Mm-hmm. I'm going with a team that didn't lose their coach as recently, Memphis.
I'm
going
to go with Memphis, a team that beat Houston, who Tom Herman left there, had them looking good, but then Memphis took it to them. I'm going to go Memphis in this one.
The San Diego County Poinsettia Bowl, BYU versus Wyoming. I'm leaning towards Craig Bohl. And Josh Allen, that guy was a really good quarterback this year and kept improving.
He is a really good quarterback. Yes, definitely. And I'm going to go with Craig Bohl in this one as well, Wyoming.
Ooh, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Ooh. Guess who's in that one? Idaho versus Colorado State. Two cold teams staying in the cold. Those poor guys, man.
Yeah, that stinks. You'd like to get a nice warm weather bowl trip.
Man, I'm going to go with the Rams in that one, Colorado State.
Oh, you're going to go against Idaho in their home state? I'm going to go Idaho in this one. This is their namesake bowl, basically.
Man, I hope they get some potatoes out there. Speaking of food, Popeye's Bahamas. Eastern Michigan versus Old Dominion, which I got to be honest, I didn't know Old Dominion had a football team. I thought they were just one of those only basketball schools. They get to play this game in Bahamas. How about that for Eastern Michigan? I pick them to win.
I'm going to pick Eastern Michigan, and it is on my sports broadcaster media guy bucket list to cover this bowl game.
Oh, for sure.
I want to cover this game.
Go to Bahamas right before Christmas? That sounds like a win. Yeah. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Man, what is that? Louisiana Tech versus Navy. I'm going with Navy, who just got upset maybe because it was Vern Lundquist's final broadcasting game and they needed something crazy to happen. So I'm going with Navy to get the redeeming win over Louisiana Tech.
I'm
going to
go with Navy as well because how can they not win the Armed Forces Bowl?
Right?
Makes sense. Right if they win.
The Dollar General Bowl. The Dollar General can afford to be a sponsor for a bowl. That's incredible.
How much money are they making? Oh my God. That's incredible.
Our boy Frank versus Troy. I am not picking against Frank, even though the quarterback scares me, but this might be Frank's best defense he's ever had. I'm picking Ohio.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ohio in this one in the Fighting Frank Soul, which has almost won their conference.
Ooh. What a long trip Hawaii has to make. The Hawaii Bowl, Hawaii versus Middle Tennessee in Honolulu. I'm going with Middle Tennessee.
Wow, you are not giving love to the teams that are playing home games. I'm going to go with Hawaii.
Well, I did. New Mexico, man.
Okay, you did. I'm going to go with Hawaii in this one because I feel like Middle Tennessee will go out there and have a little too much fun.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah, me too. The St. Petersburg Bowl. Here's kind of an upset bowl, or I wouldn't probably pick it, but a chance to have one. Miami of Ohio versus Mississippi State. I cannot see Mississippi State losing to a MAC team. Like, can you imagine that?
That would be now Dan Mullen's seat is a little warm down there, which I find a little that strange, considering what their expectations at State should be. Mm-hmm. And they're a team that obviously are having a difficult time replacing Dak Prescott. I still think they get this win and maybe springboard them into a better 2017.
The Quick Lane Bowl, Maryland versus Boston College. Boston College has no offense, even though I love their coach. He loves having some dudes on his team. I'm going with Maryland.
I'm going with Maryland as well. Quietly, their first-year head coach has done a pretty decent job out there.
The Camping World Independence Bowl. There's a world of camping. NC State versus Vanderbilt. Give me NC State because they almost beat Clemson, and Clemson's really good.
I'm going to go with probably the upset city here and go with Vanderbilt. Big upset there, Vanderbilt, North Carolina State.
Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, Army versus North Texas. Army is riding that high after beating Navy for the first time in 14 years, I believe. Give me Army. Greg, you say who?
I'm going to go with Army in this one as well. Zaxby's is delicious. Side note, we need those in Lincoln. But Army, I'm going to go with in the game, riding the high off the victory. I think they keep the momentum going.
The Military Bowl, Temple versus WakeLeaks, Wake Forest. They're being too distracted. I don't know if they can win this game. But yet I'm picking them. Wake Forest redemption.
I think they circle the wagons.
Yeah.
I do not. I think they are too distracted by WakeLeaks, which seems to be getting worse and worse by the day. Louisville tangled up in that thing because, of course, Bobby Petrino's team is tangled up in it.
Temple lost their coach, though.
That is true. But sometimes when that happens, teams also circle the wagons and get it done. I'm going Temple.
National Funding Holiday Bowl. The not going to play Minnesota Gophers versus Washington State.
So is this officially NIU now, or are they just going to be the pick if Minnesota does not actually go?
So I was going to pick Washington State no matter what, who they were going to play, because the Pirate Man, he's my guy.
Yeah, I'm picking Washington State either way in this one. Too much turmoil and short notice if NIU is in there. That's going to be tough.
The Motel 6 Cactus, Boise what? State versus Baylor. Baylor coming off losing, starting off 6-0, losing their last six. I'm going with Boise State.
I'm going to go with Boise State as well in this game.
New Era Pinstripe, playing in New York, in the cold, the Bronx. Have fun with that one. Pittsburgh and Northwestern already in cold places. I'm going with Pitt.
No. I'm going Northwestern here. B-I-G. You got to go with Pat Fitzgerald and the boys. No, man. Are we not doing that? Are we not doing the SEC
man.
Thing? I'm trying to make that a thing. Like Fetch and Mean Girls, I'm going to make it a thing.
Oh, okay. It's a good thing we're coming up to a break because we got to go.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
TJ Henning, Greg Smith, filling in for Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore. We've been trying to go through all 42 games here. To get you ready for bowl season, we're going to continue with that as we have a short segment here, so we'll run up against the clock. Russell Athletic, West Virginia versus Miami. I'm going the Mountaineers and Holgorsen.
I'm going to go with the Fighting Mark Ricks in Miami.
The Foster Farms, Indiana, Utah. Give me the Utes.
Give me Indiana, B-I-G.
Oh, man. Advocare, V100, Texas Bowl. Texas A&M, K-State. I like Sumlin, but with the quarterback situation right now, I'm going K-State, the old man.
Agree with you. The old man gets it done at Kansas State.
Birmingham Bowl, USF, South Carolina. Give me South Florida.
I will pick against South Carolina all day long.
Belk Bowl, Arkansas, Vatek. Vatek, two up and down for me. I'm going with Arkansas.
I'm going to go with Virginia Tech in this one. Justin Fuente doing a nice job.
The Valero Alamo Bowl. I think this is going to be good. Oklahoma State, Colorado. I like Oklahoma State in this one.
It's a sneaky, really good game. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State as well. Even it'll hurt Colorado more long-term if they lost their D coordinator, but it hurts them here too.
AutoZone Liberty, Georgia versus TCU. I'm still kind of struggling in this one. I'm going to lean TCU, but just barely.
I'm going to go Georgia in this one. And a top five preseason team next year. Calling it now.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
Hyundai Sun Bowl, Stanford versus North Carolina. Give me McCaffrey.
Yeah, me too.
Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. That's a mouthful. That's Nebraska versus Tennessee. Do we want to do that right now?
No, let's hold off.
We'll save on that one. The Nova Home Loans, Arizona, South Alabama versus Air Force. Give me Joey Jones in South Alabama.
Yeah, I'm with you. South Alabama all day.
Capital One Orange Bowl, Michigan, Florida State. I'm going Michigan.
I am also. No, I'm going to change my mind. Not so fast,
yeah,
my friend.
Come on.
I'm going to go Florida State in this one. Dalvin Cook. Yeah, we agree too much.
You've been on Florida State all year. You got
I have been on them. I'm going to go Florida State.
Buffalo Wild Wing, Citrus. No, Leonard Fournette. Doesn't matter anyways. I was going with Louisville.
Nope, I'm going to go LSU in this one. Geis is an amazing running back.
Yeah, he
well.
Is. You like Coach O? Oh, I love Coach O, but okay.
I like him. I don't like him long term. I like him in this game.
No, okay, all right. I like it. Tax Slayer, Georgia Tech, Kentucky. I'm going Kentucky.
I'm
going
to go Georgia Tech in this one just because.
Outback, Florida versus Iowa. I'm going Iowa. And I don't like doing it, but.
Yeah, this is the one I can't go B.I.G. I'm going to go Florida in this one.
That's. I'm not looking forward to watching that game.
That just felt wrong, man. I don't even like talking about them.
The Goodyear Cotton, Western Michigan, Wisconsin. I'm going with PJ Fleck, baby. Western Michigan.
Look at you. I'm going to go Wisconsin to get the win here. B.I.G.
B.I.G. Rose Bowl game, USC Penn State. Excited about this one. I'm going with the hot Spartans. Or Trojans.
I am excited about this one, too, but I'm going to go with USC as well. They are really, really hot right now, though Penn State is as well, but I'm going to go with USC in this game.
All-State Sugar, another one I'm excited about. Auburn, Oklahoma. Too many questions at Auburn for quarterback. Give me Oklahoma. They're rolling.
Is it a big game? Then it is not time for big game Bob to win. I'm going to go with Auburn in this one.
Interesting. All right, Greg. Washington, Alabama?
Obama.
Yeah,
they cover, too. For the folks out there that like to put the
Ohio State Clemson. I still don't know which way I'm leaning. I could go either way. I'm having a hard time picking this one. Right now, I'll lean Clemson, but it's like centimeters.
Yeah, I'm leaning Ohio State in this one because I think their defense is better, and I think that Deshaun Watson against good teams this year has really thrown some bad interceptions. Ohio State gets a couple off of him.
Bama, your champ?
Yeah, man. Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
They're an outlier. They're just
ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. Thanks for listening. Greg Smith, TJ Henning. We'll see you later.
Thank you.